This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Talk some more Celtics sale, Keith.
Yeah, let's talk some Celtics sale. Anytime a team goes for $6-7 billion, I feel like it's worth kicking around for a few days.
I think so too.
Yeah,
I'd love to sit here and break down all the losses in my bracket.
Oh, how's your bracket?
Son of a gun.
Not good. I'm getting back on that horse today, though, Jones.
Oh yeah,
that's what I'm gonna do. Huh. Hopping right back on that horse.
I like
get
that.
A juicy three-way parlay happening.
Nice.
Oh yeah.
Oh, this is your bet.
Yeah.
For the Sportsbook Rhode Island?
The bracket's already in the trash, so that's why you have to do these indie bets, these parlays, the live betting. It's a whole different animal now.
Yeah,
it's not
just
the bracket.
Yeah, I can
throw the highlighter in the trash. It's not happening this year.
Look, you know, some of us are still chasing dragons from yesterday, but I'm already on a race to 10 for Baylor at about 12:15. So get ready for that.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to be pretty
checked. So you'll be listening to me at 12:15?
I was going to say, about 12:15, I'm going to be pretty checked out.
All right.
Is what I'm going to tell you right now.
So you have 2 hours good stuff here talking Celtics sale. $6-7 billion. And good news, though, Jones, it was sold to a fan.
Yeah, boy, my God, are they pushing that narrative.
It's almost too much. It's too much for me now.
Even Wick. Wick's like, he's a bigger fan than me.
He's the biggest fan of all time. Ask him. Ask him anything about the team. He'll tell you.
Like,
so we just sold it to Bill Simmons? Like, I don't think so. Like, what are we doing?
My God.
Yeah, it's a little too much, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, okay, he's a fan. I'm glad he's a fan.
If he even likes basketball. Like, I'm starting to wonder. They're laying it on so thick.
Right.
I'm starting to wonder if he even cares about sports at all.
God loves
it. That's what I'm starting to wonder. They're like, no, it's his favorite. He knows who Chris Forsberg is.
Well, who amongst us doesn't?
Fair.
Who amongst us doesn't? I'd be like, or when was the last time you were at a game? See what it is. He's okay. All right.
Yeah, what's a beer cost at the Garden there, guy?
I can tell you. It's $25.
Do or do they not have margaritas at TD Garden?
Told they do.
Keith is still trying to figure
it
out.
I'm on my third lap around the loge level looking for one. That's all right. Next time. Next time I'll get one. But
yeah. No. He loves the team so much. It's like, guys,
it's literally his favorite.
We get it. He likes the Celtics. Okay, we got it.
He's
I understand.
From here.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know what? It's actually both things. I think Wick wants to come across as we wouldn't just give it to anybody.
Correct.
Or, I mean, give it's not the right word, but we wouldn't just sell it to any owner out there. So, you know, because it's funny even going back over his timeline. You know, one day Wick Grosbeck's saying they get paid in parades. And then the next, it's like, no, we get paid $7 billion for the team.
And
we're selling it right now because Dad said so. And this is a chance for us to make a huge, huge profit, which they are. Like, they're absolutely doing that. And, you know, you don't get into it to make a lot of money. It's like, you guys have made a tremendous amount of money by owning a basketball team. And I'm sure Bill Chisholm is going to try to do the same. Now, we're entering sort of uncharted territories because a lot of these teams that were bought up 20 years ago, we're going for a couple $100 million.
Yeah.
And now,
$360 million or something,
something
like that.
Along those lines. It was like less than half a billion, way less than half a billion.
Yeah, chump change.
And now you're selling it for $7 million. And so I know money's going up, up and up. I mean, the price of eggs, Jones, don't get me started on the price of eggs. But for Chisholm, like, how do you take a $7 billion team and make it worth $10 billion. Like, how do you do that? Like, that's, I don't know. That this is a sort of like for the next wave of owners that are just getting into pro sports now. That's something they're going to have to figure out.
Yeah, their own arena would be a way to do that.
Yeah.
Although Wick was very adamant, there will not be a new arena in the city of Boston. There's only room enough for one.
He didn't rule out Nashua.
He did not rule out Nashua. That's okay. True. Correct.
I know Wiggy wants it in Revere.
Wiggy is very adamant about Revere. Yes, yeah. Exactly. So
big dome there.
We'll see if Wiggy gets his wish on that one. By the way, and I want to get into something that Wick said today about the second apron, and I think he pretty much told you changes are coming as early as this summer to the Boston Celtics and the roster. We're like, oh. Are they going to peel anybody off? Do we have to be worried about new ownership coming in and getting rid of people? He's like, oh, it's happening. I think Wick basically told you that this morning if you were listening to the Greg Hill Show here on WEEI. It's Jones and Keefe. We got all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. That's also the text number. You can follow along at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. We're on to the Sweet 16.
Sweet.
In the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket. You can go seek that out again on Twitter and Instagram. We'll update that. Later on in the show, you can watch twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and chat. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch and on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Shaughnessy did confirm that Chisholm had the highest bid. Okay, now it may not necessarily be the best bid, although the Grosbecks taking it would tell you that it is.
Yeah.
But he wrote, the Globe has learned that Chisholm's bid was higher than Paliuka's. Not seeing the offer sheets and not knowing which package have more guaranteed financing, it's impossible to measure the offers. That's mm-hmm. what the Grosbecks do.
Okay.
So was it just about the highest number? Perhaps not, Shaughnessy said. I believe control and personalities were involved in the decision.
Kind of felt that way reading the statement yesterday from Paliuka, and it's such a different world. These, like, billionaire businessmen, I don't understand the language of it, but you would think, all right, just top dollar would win. But there's maybe some nuance in the wording and the way Paliuka says, like, we felt it was the best offer. And
right. Not we had the best offer. Yeah. It was a record.
Yep.
And I emphasis on was because I think it got blown out. And we felt we had the best offer. To me, I said this yesterday. That word was doing a lot of heavy lifting in the statement. We felt we had the best offer.
But do you think, and I don't know all the details of the Wick and Steve relationship over the years and kind of where it is right now, and I'm sure it's sort of changed over this whole process at the time of the sale, and maybe they were a bit surprised by it, and then maybe getting your hopes up that you might be the one that be the next majority owner, only to see it kind of ripped away from you. But, yeah, how much of that? Because even if their relationship is a bit icy, I don't think it was – I think it's pretty clearly not just Wick's decision.
Correct.
You know, like Irv, his dad,
right,
is going to make the call, and then maybe the other family members have more of a say, too. Like, Wick is just one voice in a room when deciding who to sell the team to.
No, I think that's fair. Obviously, Wick can't do what he wants. He had to sell the team.
Correct.
He doesn't want to sell the team.
Yeah, he definitely did not want to sell
the team. So it's not just up to Wick being like, I don't want to give it to Pags.
No.
I will allow for this, though, and maybe it was Greg's show talking about this. I've heard this theory. I think it's a good one. And you're right, it's not totally up to Wick, but maybe this was somewhere on the list. Did Wick want to do the governorship thing so badly with a new owner, which he'll be doing for the next 3 years, and would Pags not allow for that? Like, would there be no transition?
Sure. Yeah.
And would Pags just want to get in there and you know, take control and be front-facing and get Wick out of the way? Because he's been relishing for that opportunity? I mean, maybe there might be some of that.
No, I mean, he might, and that would lead to maybe Wick himself saying, hey, let's go over here. But I think ultimately if his dad is saying it's time for us to sell, that's it. It's time for you to sell, and I'm going to take the most money. I'm not going to leave money on the table so you can play, you know, governor for 3 years.
No, it's true. And Wick is one of how many kids? Is it 3 or 4? Yeah, I forget. Yeah, and so, like, they probably all have equal say, and they're like, look, Wick, I don't care if you run the team for the next 3 years.
Doesn't matter to us. We want cash out.
Money, please.
Yeah.
Money, please.
They're not doing the, you get to have a fun job for 3 more years?
Exactly. Like, give us our cash. We don't really care who gives it to us. Give us our cash. 617-779-7937. Speaking of cash, I thought this was by far the most interesting exchange on the Wick Grosbeck interview this morning on the Greg Hill Show. If you missed any of it, full interview up on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, take it with you wherever you go. This answer about peeling players off the roster and how long Bill Chisholm's going to keep it together, I thought was fascinating from Wick. And I think he basically tells you changes are coming perhaps as early as this summer. Here's Wick Grosbeck earlier today.
It's not the luxury tax bill. It's the basketball penalties. Okay, the new CBA was designed by the league to stop teams from going crazy. And they decided that it's not just good enough to go after the wallets, because then the fans are like, hey, you know, find somebody who can afford to spend whatever, $500 million a year or whatever it is. The basketball penalties mean that it's even more of a premium now to have your basketball general manager, your basketball president, be brilliant and lucky, because you've got to navigate, because you can't stay in the second apron. Nobody will. I predict for the next, you know, 40 years of the CBA, no one's going to stay in the second apron more than 2 years. So we have Brad Stevens, the reigning executive of the year, and thank God we do. He's the one that really brought us this championship with his brilliant moves. I mean, many other people, but Brad is forefront, and he's looking at this, and he's going to extend our window and make it work. I believe he will, and we'll find out in June and July what he decides to do.
Okay. We'll find out in June and July what he decides to do.
Yeah.
I predict no one's going to be in the second apron for more than 2 years. They're in it right now.
Right.
Next year, at most, is how long they're going to stay in the second. He just told you that. So maybe one more year. He just said June and July, we'll start seeing what Brad decides to do. Separately, I reject that it's not about luxury tax bills. It's about basketball penalties and everything else. We can
get
into
that. That makes no sense.
Right?
No, it really doesn't make any sense. So basically what he's trying to say is, it's not about having to pay extra money in the taxes. It's the basketball penalties, meaning, like, if you get into the minutia of it, it's like, all right, now based on the – so when we had Turpin during the trade deadline, he's like, yeah, they basically can't do anything. Like,
right.
They can't sign a mid-level guy. They can't they can only trade certain things and blah, blah, blah,
you
blah, blah.
You can't package basically, players together. It has to be one for and one, it, and the money has to match.
And it already kind of started this year. I mean, Jaden Springer got traded – not that anybody really lost any sleep over it. Maybe Jones, the biggest Jaden Springer fan.
I did lose a touch.
But
yes.
No, but like he got dealt really just for financial reasons. There's no real reason to deal him. They saved a few bucks. So they kind of did it there on a low level.
That's why they didn't sign Lonnie Walker, because his contract would have cost him like $12 million.
Another good one.
So yeah, so that was, those were all just money things. But so you're telling me with a straight face, we might have to trade Kristaps Porzingis for like draft picks so we could maybe sign a guy at the mid-level? You're better off with Porzingis. Like that's insane. That doesn't make any sense. Just say what it is. You don't want to spend that kind of money, and you're no team. So like you feel confident saying that because no NBA team wants to do that for very long. The Warriors, and I know the rules have sort of changed over the last few years, but the Warriors were paying through the nose for a while. They had three max deals or whatever, plus Draymond, plus like Andrew Wiggins. Like they had some big, or not Wiggins at the time with Durant, but you know what I'm saying? Like they had a big bloated salary for a while.
The reason teams like the Clippers, and if the Suns wind up doing it, and I guess maybe the Suns have already started to do it to a degree, but we'll see with Beal and Booker and Durant, because that new owner came in, spent a ton of money, and he immediately started peeling pieces off. Ishiba or whatever his name is.
You're the kid from Michigan State. He's a young guy.
Yes,
he's
younger
than us.
So he came in. It was like, oh, I bought this team for a buttload of money, and he's already peeling pieces off, and that's going to continue this summer.
They have the highest salary this year, Phoenix does.
Okay, they won't next year. But it's not because of basketball penalties. It's because they've underachieved and they suck. Same thing with the Clippers. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
they broke up Paul George and Kawhi.
So it wasn't doing anything.
Because they underachieved. Right. It wasn't because they couldn't sign mid-level guys.
No,
exactly.
No.
So don't tell me it's not about the luxury tax, Bill Wick. That's a joke.
And also, honestly,
that sounds like an NFL owner.
Yes.
You know, blaming the salary cap when they really don't want to spend money.
These rules are tough against the good teams.
Yeah,
it's like, no, just pay more money.
It's totally about basketball. We'd happily pay the money.
No, you wouldn't.
They're not coming after people's wallets. I think he even told you, because fans start complaining and saying, well, then just go spend whatever.
Yeah, spend the money.
And they don't want to do that. So don't let Wick tell you it's not about the luxury tax bill. Absolutely is about the luxury tax bill.
Oh, 100%.
Not the basketball penalty.
So the top eight guys on their team, right? We all know when they're healthy, the five guys that start, and then throw in like Horford, Pritchard, and Hauser. The top eight guys on the team, could they all be back on the team next year? Yes, they could.
Oh, yeah.
No, yes, they could.
Yes.
Will they? It feels like no.
There's no.
But yes, they could.
There is no basketball penalty that would keep those guys off the team next year.
It makes no sense, because then you're like, oh, we save a few bucks on Horford or Porzingis or Holiday, and then you're going to have to get their replacement, a cheaper replacement who isn't as good. Oh, and now you have more flexibility to do it, but your team's not as good. So, yeah, it always comes back to money, and you can do it if you want. So the Warriors are an interesting example, because the Warriors spent through the nose for a while, and then they didn't. Now, did they break that up, or did Kevin Durant want to go play with Kyrie Irving? If Kevin Durant re-signed with Golden State, I think they would have paid it for a few more years and stayed competitive and stayed at the top of the league. Those are the teams that should do it.
Refresh my memory. Was there a second apron then?
I think they started to change the rules, but I remember there was like they were getting taxed through the nose.
Yeah, correct. I don't think they had some of the basketball.
I don't think they might have that.
But it was about the taxes.
I can't imagine they're getting rid of Durant, and they eventually got rid of Klay Thompson, but he was a corpse of himself.
Right.
But like in their prime, Curry, Klay, and Durant, I'm guessing they would have kept that thing together for as long as they could.
So first of all, Wick, I don't want to hear it's not about the luxury tax bill. Like, that's a joke. It's about basketball penalties.
That's the
not
top
about,
thing.
Not about luxury taxes. We would have paid it. Steve Pell, you could
tell. What are the other basketball penalties?
Everybody who doesn't have to pay it is claiming they'd pay it. Like, Wick's hardly paid for anything in his life, apparently. Never mind. I do like the Twitch chat commenting about Wick. I think it was Christy in the Twitch chat said she went to a game this year, which means she spent more on the Celtics than Wick has.
So like, got one beer.
So like everybody who doesn't pay tax is like, I totally pay the luxury tax.
Yeah, I love the luxury tax.
Doesn't have to pay a dime.
No.
Wick, oh, I would pay the luxury taxes. He never spent
Fans
anything
know.
On this team.
It's all about, can we get that that mid-level guy?
Daddy's money.
Can't sign Troy Murphy this year. But
my dad would pay that, no question. We're taking $7 billion, but my dad would pay it. So don't let him tell you that. But June or July, we're going to start seeing what Brad is going to do.
Holy
like that's
smokes.
That's an ominous little quote from from Wick Grosbeck.
Yeah, it is. And they have really everybody under contract that they want with the exception of Horford. And we brought that up yesterday being like, this might be out of their control. This would be the best thing for, you know, Wick and the new owner and even Brad Stevens. Nobody could get blamed if Horford just retires. Because then there's one guy that you can take his money, cross him off the board, be like, hey, guys, what do you want us to do? He had a great career, ended it hopefully with another title, and he just walks away. But if he's like, no, I want to be back. And then all the other guys are like, yeah, we want to be back. And my God, let's go for a three-peat. Let's go for a three-chief, for God's sakes. And they're like, well, we got to break up the team.
Yeah.
You win back-to-back titles, and then you break up the team because of basketball penalties?
Not great.
I don't think so. Not when you're competing like that. And if they want to throw the Clippers or, like, God, the 76ers or all these other teams that had big salaries and then sort of started to chip away at it a little bit, because those teams were all disasters. Those teams like didn't even make it to the finals, let alone win one or maybe even two, depending on what happens in 3 months.
So Horford is a good one, and you brought this up yesterday. Yeah. If Horford plays for another team, you're going to know. They are worried about the luxury tax penalties. And, you know, they're making financial decisions, not basketball decisions, which is their right, but that's what they'd be doing. Taking Wick at his word, he mentioned June or July. And maybe that was just more, well, let's see about Horford if you want to be charitable and give him that. Maybe he was talking about Horford and his decision and how you'd replace him and everything else. Maybe. He did say definitively, no team will be in the second apron for more than 2 years, I predict it.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know how much he knows about the other 29 teams. He's making a prediction for everybody. But I have a good feeling he knows about here. And when he says no team will do it for more than 2 years, at most, you're talking about big changes.
Yeah.
Not this season, but after next. So who is he talking about? Holiday, Porzingis, White, Hauser, Pritchard, Horford, guys like he talking about Jalen?
See, that's why I hope he's not. I mean, for 5 years we were trying to trade the guy, and now he's broken through. He's a finals MVP, and you lock him up long term.
I've traded Jalen in my life quite a few times. Yep.
So many times.
Yeah.
So
many times. A lot of players. Yep.
And now they might actually do it. We don't want them to.
Right.
That's the beauty of sports. So yeah, I'm hoping that they don't, but I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, at this point, I think anything is on the table. That's sort of it's the uncertainty with two things. Yeah, it's the new owner. But to Wick's point, no owner, whether they've had the team for 20 years or they just bought it today, wants to spend way more on their team than everybody else is spending, right? Harder to turn a profit when the overall, payroll is so high. So they're going to try to shed it while also threading the needle. And that's why with Wick really hyping up Brad Stevens, it's like you can look at that one two ways. Like, yeah, Brad has been really good. This is the roster that Brad built. But now it's, hey, don't get comfortable. Like, you're gonna have to find ways to do that, but cheaper.
It's also a little weaselly by Wick to be like, well, it's up to Brad.
It
like,
is.
Oh, yeah, it's up to Brad to trade Jalen Brown. He's just going to do that out of the blue?
Well, no, this is what we've gotten into with the other teams, too. It's like, hey, Dave Dombrowski, you can go spend the money. You've spent too much money. Let's bring in Haim Bloom. Haim, you can't spend any money, but, like, make magic out of this. And he's like, what? And then, like, so, like, that might be what it turns into. It's like, all right, Brad, like, you got to get rid of three of these guys and get cheaper options for them. But make sure they're really good, though.
Make sure
they're as good.
But you still want to contend.
Yeah, remember when you found, like, Jrue Holiday and Derek White? Get those guys again,
just
but
do
cheaper.
That again,
yeah.
If you could.
Yeah.
Text line all over this, 617-779-7937. Dice says, it's not a three-chief, Keefe. It would be a C-Pete or a C's Pete.
C's Pete.
Right in front of you, he says.
Yeah.
Another texter said, three Celtics titles in a row is known as a Celtric.
Ooh.
It's not bad.
Three-chief. a Chief Pete.
I think a Celtric, you might want to get that.
Trademark it?
Trademark.
Should we do that?
They haven't won three in a row in a long time. You got to go back to the Celtic City.
Yeah, no, they covered it thoroughly.
They did.
On Celtic City.
I think this week's episode is also about that. They're going back in time again.
I wonder what. No. The next. Yeah,
no,
next
Bird.
One, next one's Bird.
It's got to be Bird by now.
Bird never won back to back.
No, we did not.
I mean, not to continue with my overrated take from Red earlier. But
now you're going
to
say Bird's overrated? The Tatum wins this year. He would do something that Bird never did.
None of the Celtics banners should count, according to Jones.
Tatum,
take them all down.
Tatum greater than?
I really do think we need to pull down a bunch of numbers. I've always maintained this. They have too many retired numbers.
Yeah.
And you saw when they lost Russell, they fell off a cliff. So all those other guys that just got their numbers retired, no offense, Don Nelson, like, they're taking it down. We're taking it down.
As a man with crazy eyes, Don Nelson's got some crazy eyes on that.
Yeah.
Those things are wild.
Crazy enough to work. Crazy like a fox.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. Who do you think Wick's talking about when he talks about peeling off pieces as soon as this summer and no one's going to stay in the second apron for more than 2 years? He told you changes are coming. He told you that this morning on the Greg Hill Show. So who is he talking about? How do the Celtics handle this going forward? I think we all trust Brad Stevens. How long does Brad Stevens want to do it for? We can get into that as well at 617-779-7937. Wick also talked about a stadium, where that could wind up landing. We'll get to that with all your phone calls right after trending.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Billy Lane.
I don't know that I believe Wick on that one.
Boston's only big enough for one arena. And if we were going to renovate anything, it'd be us and the Jacobs together. It's like the Jacobs own the building. They're going to do what they want.
Yeah, that was a weird answer. That was a surprising answer to me. And I don't know what was the reasoning behind that? Because is that just to like play nice right now with the Jacobs? Because you do have a deal with them right now. And
could so be.
You don't want to be like publicly, yeah, of course we're looking for another spot.
Yeah.
But if you're only,
Garden stinks.
But if you're buying the team, like why would you spend that much money? So the most money ever spent on a professional team in North America and you don't own the building, you have Bruins colors all in the building and like bizarre.
Right.
You would think you'd want your own building and it may not be in Boston. Like, I think ideally it would be in Boston, of course. We all can't stand that you got to go out to Foxborough to watch football. But they wouldn't be the only ones. The San Francisco 49ers don't play in San Francisco.
No.
The New York Jets and Giants don't play.
They don't even play in the state.
They don't even play in the freaking state. Now, those are football. I think it's easier to get away with it in football because it is such an event and there's only eight of them a year.
Is Detroit still Palace at Auburn Hills?
I mean, oh,
is it still that? Is it still that arena?
Yeah, you might be right.
That's not or did they move downtown recently? Because they built hockey downtown. I don't, my answer is I don't know, but that's at least one I could think of that was out of the town.
But there are ones that aren't exactly right in there. Now, there are some that are right in there. I mean, Philadelphia's got a great little setup where they have like all three of theirs
back
right
to back. Yeah.
Even Cleveland, I think they have their two like right next to each other. But regardless, I don't know. Is it just literally there's no space for it? I mean, Boston is pretty built up.
Well, what he said was you can't have dueling arenas because you need to fill out all the other off dates with acts and concerts and things like that, and there's not enough for two. I reject that, but that's what he said.
Sure.
Yeah,
there's not enough comedians in the world or music acts in the world to come through here.
That's what the man said. I don't buy it, but that's what he said. He also
said... But that's also not going to be up to him.
Well, true. And he also said there's not room enough in Boston, which...
Yeah, maybe, I wonder if it's just like geography, like you're talking about the size of Boston.
Maybe that's a hint about where a new arena would be.
Revere. The Wiggy's going to get his way. It's going to be the Revere Celtics.
Everett, though. I mean, Encore, which is where they're talking about building that Rev Stadium, which will probably never happen.
Yeah, because technically he's right. Well, there's not two in Boston.
It's not in Boston.
There's one in Everett.
I mean, his answer would be nonsense because, again, there's not enough room to fill out all the acts and concerts.
Yeah,
because
I don't think it would be all that rare. Like, if you look around all professional sports, I wonder how many of them are actually in that place. I mean, the LA Angels of Anaheim, famously, are not in Los Angeles.
Right.
In fact, really not all that close, right, to Los Angeles. But they want the name.
Right.
I mean, the name will never change, but it's just like, how far would you be willing to go? How many years away is this?
To me, Everett's pushing it. Like, I don't even think I'd really want to go over there to watch the Celtics. I would, but I would rather have them at the Garden than there, I think.
Well, if Bill Chisholm's also looking at this as a long-term investment, then, all right, in the immediacy, you can get rid of Porzingis and Jrue Holiday. Mm-hmm. But then if you never have your own building, like at what point are you going to really be able to make a significant profit?
Well, and you said this earlier, too. How do you make it worth $10 billion? How do you make it worth $12 billion? You got to own the arena.
I would think.
Well, although maybe not. Maybe the Celtics just disproved that. They went for $7 billion.
Well, so when Steve Ballmer, correct me if I'm wrong, when he bought the Clippers, spent a ton of money on the Clippers, and they shared a building until they didn't.
Yeah, now they have their own arena.
Yeah.
Intuit or whatever, what's it called? They have their own arena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Los Angeles is bigger than Boston, obviously, but I don't know. That's a two NBA team town, and they were able to split the arena and not share it. So, I mean, I think ideally, maybe he's not going to say it publicly yet, but I don't know why Bill Chisholm wouldn't want his own building. It's crazy to think that he would. Now, he's going to weigh it all and kind of figure it out and be like, all right, what's the most we can make doing this and like all that other stuff? But for sure, you'd want to branch out.
See, I think so, too. I just... Even if he wants to do it, it's not going to happen overnight.
No, that's for sure true.
That will take time. So, like, that is a longer-term thing. You're talking maybe 10 years. Like, I don't know how quick. How long did Ballmer own the Clippers before he moved them? How long is it Joe Lacob? How long did they own the Warriors before they moved them from Oakland to downtown San Francisco?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I would look at those timelines, and that's probably what you're looking at to even hope to build a new arena here. And, I don't know how construction is in San Francisco. I imagine it's significant and busy just like it is here. I don't know how construction is in LA. I'd imagine the same thing. But, you know, I would look at that and say that's probably a similar timeline. 617-779-7937. Bill Chisholm. That's apparently what we're all calling him now.
Bill,
I do like that.
I've run it in a lot of spots.
I feel like I was ahead of the curve.
Yeah, you really were.
Had a quote to Shams yesterday. He said, the team is in a great place right now, and I'm very sensitive to that. Wick, Brad, and Joe have done amazing jobs. My approach is to win and raise banners.
Yes.
That's in the near term and the long term.
All right.
I bleed green, he said.
Really? Just like Doc Rivers.
I love the Celtics.
Yeah.
When the opportunity came up, I couldn't pass it up. Wick has done an incredible job, so why would you mess that up? I've had a couple of sit-downs with Brad, and it's been about aligning our goals and extending the window of this team. So he's saying the right things.
All right. Yeah, it's all going to be about the actions. We can all just kind of guess as to what it's going to be. And this offseason, especially with Wick putting sort of a June-July timeline on it, we'll find out for sure. I don't think anybody knows, with the exception of Bill Chisholm, exactly what they're going to do. But also, it might depend on what this team does, how they look. You know, one of the scenarios we brought up is, let's say Porzingis deals with a bunch of injuries again. They win a title again, and he plays a handful of games. You're saying to yourself, all right, now are we getting our money's worth with this guy?
Right.
Or can we win without him? Oh, wait a minute. We have won without him?
Does Bill come in? My guy, Bill.
Yeah.
Does he come in and does he say, yeah, we've won two titles without this guy? What are we paying him for?
Right.
I mean, maybe.
It's like, guys, and you guys are telling me about the basketball penalties here, so like, let's get out of this apron. Let's try to
get rid of him.
And still be competitive. And that's the thing. Is like, how many corners can you cut while still being competitive? And is it easier or more difficult? If they win, is it more difficult to make big changes, or is it if they lose, is it more difficult?
I think if they win, it's more difficult.
Yeah, right. Because you're going for a three-peat or a cell-trick.
The one you raise, no, it's C-speed.
Yeah, C-speed.
The one you raise with Porzingis, maybe the exception. Like if he gets hurt and they win without him, maybe there's an exception there. But in general, no, winning will put pressure on to keep it together. And I think it's easier to stomach the luxury tax bills and everything else because you're winning.
Yeah.
You don't want to. I heard Courtney say this today. She's right. You don't want to come in, be the new guy, tear everything down, and the fan base will turn on you real quick.
Yeah.
They'll turn on you real quick.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So you can't be the guy who does that. If you lose, though, you might have an excuse. I mean, the Suns, right away when Ishbia bought that team, were they in the NBA Finals? Was it right after he came in? They had been to the NBA Finals and lost to the Bucks. And he's like, oh, we're going to contend. We're going to add all these pieces. And he's ready to tear it all down.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine he's very well liked there these days.
No, can't imagine. Which is also, I think Curtis was mentioned in this, one of the reasons why you keep Wick Grosbeck on. Because it's not just, hey, we're the new guys, and I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but we're getting rid of three guys. Like, Wick, you can talk to everybody.
Right.
Hey, Wick, why don't you go? You already have a relationship with, you know, the Greg Hill Show in the city of Boston.
Like, Wick's already blaming Brad Stevens. He's already like, well, it's going to be up to Brad.
No, Brad's so good. Brad can do anything. Yeah. Brad's like, seriously?
In Brad we trust.
Is this going to push Brad back to college? Could be a question.
Good question.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. With the tournament going on, it is a time of year where I feel like yearly Brad Stevens has to reject some college that was interested in him. His name popped up with Duke a few years ago, didn't it?
Duke and Indiana.
It's popped up with Indiana a ton.
Always with Indiana.
And
those are the two that make the most sense to leave this job to go somewhere.
So the most
sense. Although he loves Butler. So maybe just write back to Butler.
The most sense, sure. I don't think it makes any sense for him to go back to college. Like, people who worry about that, I don't understand why. Why would he want to go back to coaching?
So,
anywhere.
Not coaching?
NBA?
Yeah, well, now with the nil money.
Well, that's interesting. Does he want to? I mean, maybe that's a good point. Maybe he would want to be a GM. I don't see him going back to coaching. Maybe he would be a GM.
See, I thought he was a coach. Like, I was shocked when he got moved to the front office.
Oh,
me
too.
What are you doing? I'm like, this makes no sense. And I was like, he'll be doing this for a year or two till his contract's out, and then he'll be right back in college.
Me too. I was wrong. Yeah, I did not think he'd be good at this.
And it's funny because it's not that I had a fear, because I was like, I don't think he's going to be good, so I think he'll be better off for everybody if he just goes back to college. And then I was so wrong. He's been so good at this. Right away, he was good at this. And, you know, he made all kinds of trades. The draft is kind of TBD just because he hasn't really had draft picks or whatever. But the trades that he has made have been fantastic. He breaks through, wins a title, and they're going. But that was the other thing is, all right, new owner, new boss. What is that going to mean? Right now, they're all saying the right things. And you know, even Bill Chisholm in one of his statements was talking about Stevens and Missoula and everybody's great. That's a whole new working relationship. Maybe he doesn't want to pay him as much to do that job or whatever. Now there's going to be more challenges for Brad. So before it was like, assemble the best roster possible, and he did. And now if they're like, hey, assemble the best roster, but it needs to be
within
this
these
number.
Parameters. Yeah.
So it might just change it, or is he a guy that's just looking for another challenge? Like, that's the other thing you run into with some of these coaches. Like, really successful college coaches want to try it in the pros. Right, really successful pro coaches might want to be a GM or might want to do something, or at least go to another team and try it, or like a different group of guys. Like, you never know. I don't have an overwhelming fear, but I think it's another thing to sort of add to the pile of uncertainty with the team.
But coach or GM in college?
So
GM to me now makes, I didn't even think about that. Good job by Nick bringing that up. That makes way more sense than him coaching.
But I think the guy loves coaching. I'm surprised he's been away from it for so long. Could he do both? Could he be a Bill Belichick of college? Could he be a coach GM?
Isn't your life is so much more in order when you're not a coach, isn't it?
It is, but some of these maniacs that have coached their whole lives and just love out of bounds plays and love drawn up defenses.
But does he strike you as like a coaching maniac?
Does he? Well, when he was at Butler in his first few years in the league, especially when he didn't have a lot of talent, I thought of him as a guy that was just obsessed with coaching.
But now we've seen him in the front office, and you got a taste of that. And I imagine the money's good. The lifestyle is a million times better as a GM than it is as a coach day to day. It's way better as a professional coach than it is a college coach. You don't have to worry about recruiting
or
any of that nonsense.
My guess is, this is a complete guess. We'd have to ask Brad Stevens about it. I bet when he was a coach, he had a lot of thoughts. And we saw this because the first day he took the job, he traded Kemba Walker so fast that your head would spin. But when he was a coach, was he thinking, all right, here are all the moves I would make?
Mm-hmm.
Versus now as a GM, watching the games, I bet he's thinking, Well, I would call a timeout.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I bet his hat.
With
like,
Missoula, you have to be.
He's constantly doing the other job while he's doing it.
No, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know what he would want to do. I think he should have this job for pretty much as long as he wants it. But I don't know what the new relationship's going to be like with the new boss and everything else.
Would there be any? Well, that's true, too. And it's important that Chisholm has highlighted this in a bunch of different interviews. But he's like, I met with Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens was in on, you brought this up yesterday.
Yeah,
was
I read
in
that
on
somewhere.
All the interviews, mm-hmm. or not interviews.
The owner meetings.
Yeah, all of the meetings with the different ownership groups. So that speaks to Brad being here. But you're right. Maybe there's a conflict somewhere with new ownership.
But think
maybe,
about that.
Perhaps.
Like, think about that. Like, if Brad Stevens, who coached Jaylen Brown, then kicked up to the front office and watched Jaylen Brown turn into the player that he is, sign him to, at the time, the biggest deal in basketball history. And if he's told you have
trade
to
him.
Trade him, is he loving that?
No.
So I wonder if that kind of, you know, he's like, all right, I'm going to go do something else.
I don't see him going back to coaching personally. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But would he go be like the GM at Indiana, where it's like, him and Tracy can go back to the Hoosier State.
You're right.
Go back to where they want to be.
Maybe.
You can have a cushy gig and you spend some money recruiting college players. I mean, maybe I could see that. I don't think he's going anywhere soon. Like, I don't.
No, I think the next few years, let's play, like they were kept saying, Wick Rosebeck is going to be the governor for 3 years. Like, minimum 3 years. So, like, all right, we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be four.
No.
But let's see. So, it'll be three. So, there's sort of a transition. So, it's not like Brad's going to have all new people around him.
Who goes first, Brad or Jaylen?
Let's see.
Jaylen. I think Jaylen goes before Brad, if I had to kind of budget out. Like, Tatum
honestly,
will
be, maybe the same time. Maybe Brad's like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And then they're like, no, you have to.
Fudge this. I'm out of here. Maybe there's some of that, yeah.
Well, I don't know what Brad's contract is either. We know what Jaylen's contract is. He's signed for, what, 4 years after this one.
Yeah,
like, he's locked in for the long haul. So, I guess I would say, yeah, you might be right. Might be Jaylen.
I mean, if I was wagering on it, that's what I'd do. 617-779-7937. Although my wagering has not gone so hot here in the last, really more than 24 hours.
Yeah.
So it's been a bit of a cold streak.
Well.
We can talk more Celtics if you want to jump in. 617-779-7937. We can get to the Patriots draft. Should they be considering moving up in the first round? We'll get to that with all your thoughts next. Jones and Keefe, WEEI. That was Daniel Jeremiah. On Travis Hunter, we played that briefly. We didn't spend a lot of time on it yesterday with all the news going on. I think that's pretty interesting that all the draft guys just about after free agency have started putting Travis Hunter not only to the Patriots at four, but started associating Travis Hunter as a wide receiver specifically with the Patriots. They weren't doing that before.
No, they weren't. And if you go back to the combine, he was listed as a defensive back. Mm-hmm. And if you look on like certain websites like ESPN that like power rank all the players, he's under as a corner, right? Like they have to pick a spot for him. He's listed as a corner. I think most people, and I think he's a better wide receiver than you do, but I also think he's probably better as a corner. I just love the idea of him playing both ways. And I wonder if this just comes down to sort of like a need thing, right? Like there's still all the wide receiver shuffle that happened this offseason. There's still teams like the Patriots left without a receiver. And then when you look at the draft, it's not exactly top heavy with wideouts. And so now you're saying, well, if you are going to take him, like maybe you need to play him more on this side of the ball.
But so that I hate that. So
no,
I would hate them drafting for need and taking Will Campbell at four just because you need a left tackle. Then you should have signed a left tackle. That's what you should have done. I thought the idea was letting the draft come to you.
What would you hate more, drafting Will Campbell at four or drafting Travis Hunter at four and having him be primarily a wideout?
Oh, definitely Campbell.
Okay.
Like, and I am not a huge believer in Hunter as a wide receiver, but I would still rather that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not a believer in Campbell as a tackle. He might be a really good guard. I'm not a believer in him as a tackle.
Four seems high for a guard.
It does seem quite high.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very clear to me they're going to be drafting for need at four. And I hate that. So I don't think anybody really believed in him first as a wide receiver. And now everybody, Jeremiah, Kuiper did it in his mock. I'm sure we'll have a mock draft on Monday, mock draft Monday.
Yes.
Where we'll look at it and another person will be putting Travis Hunter to the Patriots and playing him on offense, which you were never seeing before. So
now, how much of that is because they signed Carlton Davis, you think?
A ton.
Well, no, but I mean, we haven't seen him do it, meaning we haven't seen him take Travis Hunter and then tell him to only practice offense, right? But I'm just saying for people that are doing their mock drafts.
I think it's a ton of it.
Right, because they look at the receiver room and they're like, you guys signed Mac Hollins and then they also signed Carlton Davis. So.
But also the team has put it out there a little bit.
Yeah.
That who had the story the other week? Karen? He's number one, not only as a corner, he's number one on their board as a receiver. So the team is putting it out there a little bit too. Hey, this guy can be a receiver. It's not.
Aaron, it's not just mock drafts.
I think he can do both. I'm not drafting him if he's not playing. I'm not drafting him at four if he's only playing one side of the ball, regardless of what side it is. They're both premium positions, but the real appeal to me is he can play both. And I know you have Gonzalez and Davis, but go back and tell me how many times they had three or more corners on the field at once. You can play three corners, trust me.
You shouldn't be jamming Travis Hunter on one side of the football because you have a need.
Nope.
First of all, you should play him on both sides.
But even if they didn't take Davis and they were like, we're drafting Travis Hunter at four and he's just going to play corner, I'd be like, why?
Yeah, I wouldn't like that either.
Try him as a receiver.
I would, as I've said many times, I don't really believe in him as a receiver, but I would give him every opportunity to fail there and prove me wrong.
Especially on this team.
Yeah. So if you're drafting Travis Hunter at four and putting him on the wrong side of the ball because you have a need, that's a horrible approach.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something I like. Okay. I was reading another mock.
Ooh. Shime?
I can't save this one all the way until Monday.
No, we got
Phil Perry's mock.
Okay, Phil's mock.
He's got them taking Travis Hunter at four.
Mock Perry.
Mock Perry. He also has them trading up in the first round. Now, here's what it would cost to move up to 24. He has them taking Josh Connerly, an offensive tackle out of Oregon, who I would not take, based solely on the fact that he got just bowled over at the Senior Bowl. I can't get that highlight out of my head.
Well, I will say that was when they had him playing right tackle, so everything was backwards for him.
Got it. Still don't want it. But okay.
He's not ambidextrous.
Taking a tackle at 24.
Okay.
And taking Travis Hunter to play him at receiver at four, filling out some needs. Like, I could get on board with that approach. If you're going to fill your needs, take them both in the first round at least. Here's what it would cost. And this is what I really want to talk about.
Yes.
Would you trade 38 and 77? Which is the pick you got from Judon. You have two third-rounders.
Yeah, right.
So the lesser of your two third-round picks, would you trade 38 and 77 to move up to 24? Or would you rather have a second-rounder and two-thirds?
No, I would do that, I think. I don't want to get in the...
basically, you'd
I don't want to trade too many picks, but if you're walking away with two first-rounders, and what would that be, no second and a third?
Correct.
Fine.
Yeah,
yeah, so, that I would do.
So basically, you're moving up 14 picks from 38 to 24 and throwing in the Judon pick, which in some ways is a free pick.
Because when you first talked about trading up, I didn't know if you meant like from 4 to 2. And No, it's going to cost way too much. And then, yeah, that in that regard, you're not sacrificing too much. And you're walking away with two first-round picks, which also gives you the fifth-year option on these guys. And if you walk away with as much as I want Travis Hunter, let's say you either get Hunter and a lineman, like best hoss available at 24 versus best hoss available at 38, which a couple of hosses might be off the board at that point.
Good point.
So I would take that. That would be a pretty satisfying first night of the draft.
No, this is your plan a long time. Hunter and BHA was your plan, wasn't it?
I'm sticking with the plan.
All right, Phil has adopted.
If Mark Perry's got 38 and 77, that's not too much because you're only sacrificing one pick and it's a third round pick. So, all right. You're getting more and more of a dart throw as you go down the board. So if you're walking away with two first-round picks, especially, was it Shime that said he thinks there might be three or four left tackles that could be like day one starters? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's projections, but still, like and one of them still there at 24. All right, I like that a lot.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Phil has adopted Hunter and BHA. That was Keith's plan months ago. I didn't connect those dots.
Pretty great.
617-779-7937. Steph Diggs left without a contract yesterday. How are the Patriots going to fix their wide receiver issues? We can get to that with all your thoughts coming up next.